Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we have a special episode for you today. It's a short, and we're going to talk about the possibility of having a retractable roof, I should say, on a dome stadium. Here in Baltimore. Joining me to do that is David Patrick. David, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I always like these kind of off-ball topics. A lot of ones we've had recently, it seemed, with all the new tax laws and other potential financial changes that may accrue from that. But what's your theory here? You came to me, you said, boy, wouldn't it be great if Baltimore had a retractable roof?
You know, this comes from watching games, and my wife is really nice and watches them with me, and she's become a Ravens fan. And I feel like there are several times during the season we're watching a game and Lamar's doing something amazing and he slips. And it's like, he's the best athlete I've ever seen move around. Maybe he needs new cleats. And more I watch it, it's just, he's so explosive and he's slipping and he's from Florida. And I was just like, can we just get this guy a nice surface? Like, why are we bringing in this variance element of him slipping around in bad weather? And then I just started thinking more and more about it. And, you know, the Ravens used to be this bully defense that I grew up loving. And now we're this explosive offense where Lamar and most of the offensive players on an even field, no variance in field work, I think they're going to win. You know, I think every single skill position player, like, I'd rather them have good footing. And, There's a quote that always stuck out to me with Tom Brady, and he used to say, I love bad weather. It's not for the defense, it's for the offense, because I know where the ball's going. But that doesn't really describe Lamar Jackson and the offense to me. He's become really good at running the play, but his big threat is the second play. So I want his footing and the skill position player's footing to be good. I was like, what if we just put a roof on the stadium and he could have great weather every time he plays? So that's where it kind of came from.
Okay. So obviously it's expensive. They have talked about putting a roof on M&T before. Adding a roof to an existing stadium is very expensive. Most of the time, and it's certainly the case, I'm certain in terms of M&T, they don't consider the possibility of adding a roof after the fact. They could, but I don't believe they did it in this case. So building something after the fact is going to be prohibitively expensive to try and build something that works structurally. So if we're talking about a new stadium, there's a host of practical reasons why it would be, that'd be very difficult. But I have to start by asking, does it really make sense if it's going to take 10 years to get the stadium put in place? We're talking about 2035, maybe even 2037 or whatever, when the Ravens lease runs out next. Does it make sense? Because the Ravens more than likely will not have Lamar Jackson at that point.
I mean, honestly, if the only way of getting a roof on top of the players is a new stadium and it'll take that long, I think Lamar's window of winning and playing well is probably 10 years because, you know, he's going to diminish. But if he keeps getting better and better as a thrower, he's got a long timetable. But I think the only way, like, my idea really doesn't work unless it's Bisciotti will put in the hundreds of millions of dollars to put a roof on there.
Okay. And to do so, he might have to do it with the current stadium somehow, or he might have to build a new one, which would be probably now cost approximately Steve Bisciotti's net worth. Steve Bisciotti's the richest man in Maryland, and a new stadium might cost upwards of $5 billion, and I think he has about $6 billion change. So obviously he's not going to be able to cash out every little bit of his equity. He'd have to borrow some money to get it done. But it seems a little unlikely, let's put it that way.
Maybe the state of Maryland could chip in a little bit. Maybe he could stop doing upgrades on the castle and doing additions every time. Maybe he doesn't do all the new installs in the stadium every year for a couple of seasons to say, hey, we're going to maximize the next 10 years of this window and try and have multiple championships. Because right now, and all we really had is, and I love it, but 2000, got to break the team down, window's gone. 2012. Break it down. And it's like Lamar might give us 10 years in a window. So I'm for it. I'll pay some taxes for it.
Okay. That's nice. You're actually living in Minnesota currently.
I just went for it. Devil's in the details, Ken. That's true. Yeah. I am living in Minnesota, but I have family there and I will pay their taxes for it. That I promise.
This is a general problem with the state of Maryland right now with the current turmoil in government or whatnot. Is there's potentially Maryland will not have the wealth it has had and enjoyed for a long time as a state. And this is a big potential loss for the Ravens, among others. It's certainly a loss for a bunch of federal workers who, had jobs and now don't. So, but let's maybe approach this from a slightly different angle. Please. The Cleveland Browns are building a retractable dome, or they want to, not in Cleveland again, but they're moving the stadium to Brook Park, which is an absolutely awful former porno district. It's like if the block expanded over a much larger area. It's a dump. And you see who gets off at the Brook Park station, by the way. It's not a bunch of people you'd hang out with. Let's put it that way. there's some scary folks. So anyway, I assume Haslam's plan is to rip the place down as much as he can get his hands on and build a new city around this retractable dome. And Brook Park's probably very happy with that arrangement. I know the city of Cleveland doesn't want to, or did not want to initially, at least, allow the Browns to move outside the city, because that was part of the 1999 rebirth of the Browns, as a promise they would not leave again. But anyway, their reasons for building a retractable dome always seemed a little lame to me. They enjoyed a situation where they had a home field advantage with weather, I would say. They certainly used it against some teams, not necessarily the Ravens, but against some teams. And I think their greater reason for wanting to move out of Cleveland is basically that Haslam wants to follow the Braves model and build a much larger mixed use community that's around that stadium.
Yeah, I don't know if that would work for Baltimore. My hunch is that they probably have to go into the county somewhere, definitely have to stay away from the Redskins facility as well. So maybe they'd have to go to the burbs somewhere.
Well, the Redskins are moving back to DC. So
are they?
So that, okay. that uh, a big empty building in Landover is probably going to get the end it deserves. I would think they would tear it down. I don't know for sure, but it's there's no way the Ravens would move there.
Why not?
Well, first of all, if you want to try and inconvenience your current fan base in about as much of a way as you possibly can, just try and sell that to Ravens fans. Like, we're going to move into the Redskins stadium. The second part is that building is terrible. I mean, M&T Bank is one of the nicest facilities of all. The stadium in Landover is regularly voted 32nd out of 32 stadiums in terms of the horrible sight lines and a lot of the other problems it has.
So. Oh, I was thinking if it was a teardown and you needed a place, it's like, okay, you could do it there. It's already...
Yeah, there are other issues with it too. It's out in the middle of nowhere. You have to take a train and a bus to get there. You might even have to take a train, bus, but you have to take a train and a bus to get there. So it's kind of like being in the Meadowlands. It's if you're in New York City, I mean, it's an all day event to go to and from a ball game. I don't think Baltimore fans want that. I think they want the ease of access and egress that they have in downtown Baltimore. I speak for myself anyway.
Yeah. I guess if I can look at it a different way, it sounds like I don't know all the ins and outs of actually building a stadium. Sounds like it might not be practical. It would have to really, really mean something. So maybe if we go back, and I can ask your opinion, Ken, do you think that Lamar and the offense could benefit from better surfaces? Do you think it would be a competitive advantage for the structure of the team now? Because I feel like this team goes as far as Lamar and the offense goes. That's my read of it.
So I think there would be something to be said that Lamar might be more effective indoors during the playoffs, is that weather has played some small role. Now, if you look at what has happened, the two losses in Buffalo, the first one, I think there was weather-related components to it. The second one, I don't. I think they outplayed the Bills very, you know, significantly, and they couldn't stop tripping over their own feet with the turnovers, and that was pretty much how the game was lost. They otherwise just effectively rolled over the Bills in that game offensively. If you look at the other games he's played, you know, he's beaten the Texans once very one-sidedly. He's beaten the Steelers once very one-sidedly. He beat the Titans with a nice comeback win that was moderately cold. I'm trying to remember what the weather was like at that game.
It was like pretty warm though. Like, it wasn't like a frigid day.
So you're saying it might have been like 40 or 44 or
something like that. Yeah.
Sounds like it could be true. It's the middle of COVID. It's an empty stadium. I'm trying to remember what it felt like that day. I really don't, but it's worth looking up.
Yeah.
And then their other losses, they lost against the Chargers and they lost against Tennessee when it was a very nice temperature day, but a little bit windy. It's hard for me to blame the weather entirely for everything that's happened in the postseason to Lamar and the Ravens as a whole.
Oh, I agree. And I'm not trying to throw that shade on them. I mean, I watched the second half of last year's playoff loss and Lamar did everything he needed to do to win the game. But it's more that we have the best roster. We've had the number one DVOA team. And so what else can you do? You can't necessarily add that many more good players or have much of a better scheme or anything like that. So what are like small things we can get? And so I look back at the Bills game and he wasn't really slipping around very much. But for example, he fumbled in the first half because he couldn't throw the ball. It was a botched snap and the linemen were gone. So he's got to do all of his jukes and stuff. Maybe if the field was good, he's got that one more extra percentage of burst. Maybe in the fourth quarter, Mark Andrews doesn't have a slippery ball and he doesn't get stripped, you know, the drive before. Or maybe he has the right gloves. He was talking about his gloves and he couldn't quite figure out the right gloves to catch the ball. And that's why he dropped the 2-point conversion. It's like there are all these little things where I think you give him an indoor stadium and I think we have maybe that slight edge. I don't know.
Let's try and compare that to signing an incremental player that might give you that slight edge and the relative cost of those two things. Now, admittedly, you know, the cost is controlled by the cap, but maybe talk about it a different way. You're going to hire five coaches who are absolutely at the top of their field because that's money outside of the salary cap. Correct. And you're gonna bring in whatever other experts you want and spend. I'm gonna throw a number out there that I think is way too high. $50 million a year doing this. Okay. I think you probably can have pretty much your pick of a lot of things for $50 million a year. You could have, you know, certainly five great non-head coaches. Mm-hmm. You can't have five head coaches for much less than that, but you can have five great non-head coaches, five great positional coaches. You can have, you know, changes to your facilities to add, you know, two additional oxygen tanks for players to recover. You can, I mean, there's so many things you could do for that kind of money relative to the advantage you could gain from having a new stadium. I think there's, if I were to say, I mean, you talked about the ways they could pinch pennies basically to try and pay for a stadium. I think that probably you got to think about pinching the stadium cost and trying to spend that in some other more productive way, or at least that's how I would.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, comparing it, I agree, to a different player doesn't really work because we kind of spend at the cap, so that's money already kind of spent. And, you know, also we kind of are veering away from hiring other coaches, but at the same time, I don't think that Bisciotti would say, you know, John, you've done a great job hiring coaches, which to give him credit, I think he's done a great job over the tenure of his career. If I just gave you more money, you'd be able to attract an even better coach. You'd be like, no, Steve, that's not how we're doing it. So I don't really know. Nothing has struck me as something that could directly impact the best part of our team, which is our explosiveness. I mean, and it applies to different players. You know, like Rashad Bateman is virtually always open. He gets open all the time, better than most. I mean, say Flowers, you give him 6 seconds to he'll be uncovered. But if he had bad weather, maybe they're slipping. Maybe they're dancing around. So I don't know. It was just it was a thought where I don't think I really thought through the cost. And I think that if anything on this short, you've kind of convinced me that unless Steve Bisciotti is just like, you know what, I have a way of adding a roof so that in the next couple of years I can really maximize Lamar's window, I don't think it's really very practical. So it's a fun thought experiment, but I don't know that it'll really happen.
I appreciate you doing it. I did want to go over the rule. The NFL has rules for retractable roofs and whatnot. In fact, a lot of these stem from Bill Veeck being an owner.
You ever have one of those days where everything's off? Well, Mood can help with that. And let me tell you about Mood. It's the online cannabis brand that is changing the way we handle everything from stress to sleepless nights with functional gummies that are 100% federally legal cannabis. Mood launched to make cannabis affordable, accessible, and transparent, while at the same time supporting American farmers growing premium hemp on small pesticide-free farms. Their gummies are next level. Seriously, I've tried a few and each one feels totally different. The Sleepy Time gummies, out like a light, immediately asleep. The Epic Euphoria, it's perfect when you just need a reset to feel good again. What makes them unique? Mood combines THC with herbs and adaptogens, so you get real targeted effects. You're not going to find this in your typical dispensary. And here's the best part. Mood ships discreetly to most states, offers a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, and right now you get 20% off your first order with the promo code RAVEN. Just head to mood.com. Find your perfect gummy and use the code RAVENS at checkout to save 20%.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
And way back in his days owning the Indians, he owned a number of franchises. He owned the White Sox in the 70s and whatnot. But in the 1948, he owned the Cleveland Indians. They set the all-time attendance record. Before that, I think he might have owned the Browns before then, or maybe after. I'm not exactly sure of the order. But one of the first teams he was with, he had the idea, we should be able to move the fences between innings. And so he literally had them set up so they could move them around. That lasted one game, and then they told him they couldn't do that.
Yeah.
A number of other times it's been done. You may or may not know this story about Charlie Finley, but Charlie Finley was the owner, for a lot of people who don't know, I guess that David does know this, but during the 1970s, the A's won three consecutive World Series from 72 to 74. And they were constantly fighting with each other, and they had an owner who was an absolute child. If you think Steinbrenner was a child, this guy was a couple grades below him in terms of behavior. Yeah. He offered a contract to Vida Blue after his MVP season in 1971. And he said, I'm giving you this under the condition that you change your middle name to True, so we can call you Vida True Blue, as a marketing thing.
Wow.
But yeah, it's absolutely unbelievable behavior that would not last today. But when he had the Kansas City A's he owned in the 1960s. And reportedly the story is he heard Eddie Lopat explaining why the Yankees were so successful and saying that they always had the right number of left-handers, both pitchers and hitters. And they had a ballpark that the dimensions were built for him. And that, you know, it was called the house that Ruth built for various reasons, but it had a big belly in left center field where right-handed hitters fly balls went to die. And extreme pull hitters did very well in the old Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium as well, but right-handers can hit there too.
Sure.
Anyway, the story goes is this way, that he decided that he would change the dimensions to be exactly what they were in Yankee Stadium, create a short porch in right field and create a big belly out in left field and whatnot. But there's a whole bunch of problems with it. Logistically, they could not make that happen. And so they decided to do some things and make a mockery of the fact that the American League wouldn't let them do it at the time. And one of them was to draw a line where the Yankee Stadium wall would have been and around on the field. And then every time a ball was hit behind the line but in front of the stands, the announcer was supposed to say, that ball would have been a home run in Yankee Stadium.
Oh, my God. That's
the kind of things that you, why would you ever do that? And the way Bill James tells the story, which is very funny, is that the Minnesota Twins became the first team in Major League, or second team in Major League history, at four consecutive hitters hit home runs in a game. And I think the year was 1964. And a fifth home run would have been hit in the inning, but it was behind the line and in front of the fence. And Earl Batty, I think, might have hit it. And the announcer dutifully intoned, that ball would have been a home run in Yankee Stadium. And the practice was discontinued the next day. For those of you who don't know the history of Charlie Finley, it's worth looking up the Wikipedia of him just to see some of the infantile crap he tried. There was an innovation in there that was actually kind of interesting. He talked about playing with an orange baseball at night as being a change because it was more visible, supposedly. And there's probably some truth to it. Most of his stuff was just, it was hardcore AAA minor league yokelism that I'll call it. Really just strange.
Well, you got to look for every edge in competitive sports. I would not be surprised if there's a dark file sitting on the floor of some analytic person at the Ravens saying, retractable roof. competitive advantage question mark, cost prohibitive, and has been thrown out. I'm sure they've tried to think of things. I thought it was a better idea until the article you sent me, where I started reading some of the rules about for teams that have a retractable roof, in case any fans are kind of looking.
That was a good article. Do you want to talk about it a little bit?
Just something that stood out to me was just that I thought that it would be an added competitive advantage where the team would have to prepare and not know what's going to happen. And 90 minutes before the game, you have to make a determination what you're going to do so the other team knows. But at the same time, there are all these rules that are outside of the home team's control. Like if there's inclement weather or there's high wind or there's XYZ, literally a neutral party, the officiating crew or the grounds crew or something, makes a decision and then the roof comes. So if there is bad weather, you know that the roof is going to be retracted, which is not quite as juicy as I thought it would be to be like, hey, we don't know if it's going to be crappy wind and cold and snow in Baltimore or, you know, or not. So not quite as good.
One of the advantages of a retractable roof, if you built one and just committed to that notion, is that you would have the option of open or closed for cold. You know, you're playing Miami, you might want to play in the cold. You're playing a dome team, you might want to play in the cold. For other reasons, so stylistically, you might want to play in the cold, and then other teams you might want to not do that. But you can't be too worried about how your team is constituted now, because by the time you get this damn thing built, it's going to be completely different.
Yeah, that's true.
That article is very interesting because it doesn't just apply to the retractable roof; it also applies to things like retractable curtains in a stadium.
Yeah,
and the Minnesota, for instance. I've been to their stadium. I can just say this. It makes me sick to sit inside. I'm very photosensitive. And I kind of get a headache sometimes, but sometimes I actually get nauseated by being in a room where you can feel yourself getting a little warm and there's a lot of light in there. And it's kind of a gross building to be in. I think they may feel like that's something they can deal with competitively, that it's a advantage for them. But they're not allowed to do things like open the shades when the opposing offense is headed into the sunlight. The shades are at one end. The open window is at one end. So there are a whole bunch of rules for things like that in terms of not changing the conditions during the game, that even if you have this thing you think is a competitive advantage, you can't really take advantage of it necessarily.
Yeah, for sure. I guess, you know, some things are illegal and some things are okay, like constructing your stadium, like in Seattle. That makes it sound like you're at an airplane taking off.
Yeah.
Because they pitch it, right? They pitch so that the volume directly hits the field. Genius.
Yeah. In Indianapolis, they don't even mince in Indianapolis. They pump an unbelievable amount of sound into that building, the old one in particular, but the new one is bad too, in terms of jamming on the volume. And apparently I thought there were rules against that. I thought you couldn't have artificial crowd noise because you're specifically not allowed to bring noisemakers to an NFL stadium. Like you can't bring anything that is specifically designed like a foghorn to make a lot of noise and make it difficult on the other team. But anyway, it's interesting. Indianapolis, just they pump the music up to an unbelievable level. It's very uncomfortable to sit there during the huddle and have this very loud microphone blaring at you.
Well, I'm not really surprised when you think about Indianapolis, you know, the Colts.
Yep.
Top to bottom. The Mayflower still hurts.
Enough said about that. Yep. The Irsay family there.
R.I.P. Sorry.
David, pleasure having you on here. And this is an interesting conversation. I agree. This is just the kind of thing. It's a very interesting thought experiment. Can you think of another thing that you'd like the Ravens to do that would be, say, an expenditure of 25 to 50 million of non-cap dollars that you think would be a good idea? And by the way, love to hear from anybody else who's listening to this episode. Send me a DM or just, when I post this, respond to the thing with, what is your idea for how the Ravens ought to spend, say, $25 million additionally to try and get the best competitive advantage they can. It can't be a player, it can't be cap related. It has to be non-cap related in order to do that.
The only thing I can think of is if you're really saying I have 25 to 50 mil and we're going to do it, if there is a way to accentuate the business acumen or business opportunities of the players so that they're just getting educated or getting exposed so that they can supplement their salaries or their careers in the future. Maybe Baltimore is a much more attractive place where great players, 28 to 32, third contract, want to come here, win a Super Bowl, and really set themselves up.
Okay, that's an idea. So this would be some way you would leverage their own endorsement value, or you're trying to get them work after football because they want to work, say, in finance for T. Rowe Price, or they want to work wherever.
Both. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, I'm sure that the Ravens already have a fantastic media team, because maybe I'm just biased, but I feel like the Ravens are more represented through sports media than most teams that I recognize. And so I think they already do that kind of development with players. But, you know, if you want to throw 25, 50 million at it, I think you could really do something special. I mean, that's almost a million a player that's on the active roster.
Right. Yeah, I wonder how you'd spend that money. That's an interesting idea. My idea was that you would create something in the facility that no other team has, like some sort of super game room or super workout facility that's beyond state of the art. You give them something that makes injuries heal quicker. I don't even know what that would be. I mean, obviously good doctors are a good start, but one of the things, we had a guest on who was talking about having a methodology to find muscle injuries by heat maps before they became the real thing. Did you hear that episode, by the way?
No, I need to go back and listen to that.
It's a couple of years ago now, but okay. they were representing several South American soccer teams, and the two guys were from Brazil. One of them was like a doctor, and the other, his brother, was like an engineer or the businessman, I guess, maybe. And they'd created this device where you walk in and you can have your muscles checked. But one of the problems for football players is they wear so much gear that it throws off the equipment. And you basically need to go into what is essentially a changing room, drop trowel, go into this device, and it creates some sort of map of the heat in your muscles to tell you where your muscles are working. It can help pinpoint muscle injuries before they become more serious. So if you're about to get a hamstring, it supposedly is going to be something it can tell you.
Well, can we please have that? And can we go back in time and give it to the Indiana Pacers, that poor Halliburton? I don't know if you watched Game 7. That was horrible.
We saw a little bit of it. We were out at a bar. It's Maureen is from Indiana, so she was interested. Doesn't know any of the players anymore, but yeah.
But something else in your very expensive game room is, I know that Daniels for the, what are they called now, the Commanders, he does VR training. Mm-hmm. So they have have you seen that? He has like a fancy VR system where he actually immerses himself onto the field and then takes live reps that way. So that's give that to each player.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I've heard the Orioles have some live batting practice machine can throw. It's not a one type of pitch only kind of a jugs gun machine. It can throw various pitches, much harder to hit off of. Doesn't always throw strikes intentionally. It's trying to mimic what a pitcher actually does. It'd be interesting if you could get that kind of thing for a receiver, where it wasn't really a jugs gun, but you know, you work in a pit or something, and the ball might be anywhere relative to your frame, and part of it is you're trying to go get the football kind of thing.
That'd be real cool.
Yeah, it'd be a neat thing. Anyway, I would love those kind of things, those kind of inventions. I'm sure, first of all, that thing doesn't even really sound that expensive. The last thing I mentioned, VR training, maybe not, depending on how sophisticated it is, could be expensive, but that's a good idea. That really is.
I want the heat maps, Ken. You convinced me.
I'll dig up the old episode. I'll link it for you. It's very interesting what the guy had to say about it. So anyway, David, really appreciate having you on. Tell folks where they can talk football with you if they want online.
Respectfully, I try and keep my anonymity. And so if you run into me at the stadium once a year when I come by, happy to talk football with you then.
All right. Outstanding. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. It's just this kind of topic is fantastic. It doesn't have to be completely thought out, by the way. If you have 3 bullet points, 4 bullet points, and you want to just make a good discussion about it, this is always an interesting thought experiment to be had. And I'd love to talk football with you. David, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Ken.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.